You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Are you gonna stop and re-record, or
I'm just restarting, and I'm getting back to the clock here, and which is good because I'm glad that you're going to do the majority of talking because I can get back to my bourbon.
Oh, not fair.
Bourbon, I missed you, baby.
Yes, you did, you little bourbon. Oh, yes, you are.
We went to a new place last night. There's a place that's actually right next to the Aldi. Which is a walking distance, basically. And they call it Spirit Water. And I looked at their website and I didn't even think about it, you know. And I was like, oh, you know, that'd be a good place to try it, you know, to check out. And so my wife and I go there yesterday. And the dude that is the distiller, you know, that makes the spirits and makes the beers, he's, like, right there at the counter. And he's, you know, sitting at the bar. And he's like, oh, this is your first time here? What took you so long? As he is. And then he ended up, you know, like trying to educate us on the different beers and the different spirits. He ended up giving us so many samples. It was crazy. It was so crazy. It was like I bought a flight of spirits to try, you know, for $12. Mm-hmm. But I was completely like almost loaded by the time we left because of how much stuff this guy was like. And he wasn't just giving it to us and saying, here, try this. It was like he was trying to educate us. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sip it like this, you know, squish it in your mouth a little bit. Here's what you're going to taste.
That was great.
And it was just awesome. It was such a fun experience because of him. So I ended up buying a bottle of the bourbon that they sell, which, you know, with a little bit more than I normally spend for bourbon. But it's tasty. It is very smooth, and that's what I'm enjoying tonight. So it's Spirit Waters Bourbon.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Gonna talk to those guys.
It sounds
about
like a little adventure.
Yeah, exactly. It surprised me there's so many people there at the bar that were like there and not like quarantined. You know.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm facing bars and restaurants all closing down when people you need them. But in any case, we'll see. You know, we'll move forward on that.
Yeah, and in fact, we've gotten the same thing where all the sit-down restaurants, as of tomorrow, I think it is, are going to be off-limits or shut down. So I guess you can do, like, pick-up, you know, only.
Yeah, my son delivers pizza, so he's probably going to be real busy.
Yeah. And my wife made a joke. She goes, yep, we're just going to live on fast food. So.
Nice. Yeah, well, I guess that's it.
Yep, there goes that diet.
Okay, so now it's my turn.
Yep. Timer started now.
What's that?
So I'm going to start the timer now.
Okay.
This is 90-something podcast.
I know it sounds mental, but sometimes I have more fun vegging out than when I go partying. Maybe because my party clothes are so binding.
You're an idiot.
I'll show you. Starting tomorrow, you'll see I'm just as sane as anybody.
But I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny how? How am I funny?
Smelly cat, smelly cat, what are they feeding you?
Mentos, the fresh maker.
Well, this is Suzanne from Banzai Retro Club, and with me I have Dave.
With his codpiece on.
Oh, God. All right, so we're jumping right into that one now. We got it out of our system.
It's out of our system. It's out of the way. We don't have to revisit that.
Okay. And if you've been following along, that's our little joke that every episode has to mention God Beast.
I guess so, yes.
But anyway, okay, so what we are doing today is we've decided to each pick a TV character. Doesn't have to be the actor or the, you know, the real person in, you know, just a character, not even a favorite character, could be really any, you know, any emotional attachment. Okay. And who I've decided to choose, like when I go to TV, you know, I told you I usually don't do too much 80s for TV because I was kind of out of the loop that year. That decade. I am going to jump to the 90s and talk about Elaine Benes from Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Yeah, she was very cool.
Yeah.
I happen to think that Seinfeld was probably one of the best series that has ever been on television. It's hysterical. It has so many gags per episode that you can't even, you think to yourself, oh yeah, that one where Jerry was playing chess with his brain and his penis, you know, or whatever it was that you, that you think of. And then when you actually watch that episode, you realize that there are like four other gags that are memorable that are going on through that same episode. Because it's a smart enough show that they didn't limit it even to just one gag. You had to have a million things happening that people were laughing at and quoting and just becoming part of our lexicon, you know, every single week. So I miss that kind of television. I miss television that would happen on one night and then people would all talk about it the next day. And Elaine Marie Benes got to be kind of the girl who was in the middle of the guys, so kind of like one of the boys, but yet not. Which is nice, a nice situation to be in. I've found myself as that girl now and then, and it's fun.
Kind of being like in the, like, you know, involved with a group of guys.
Yeah, one way or another, I here and there have turned into, you know, like Wendy, mother of the lost boys, whether it's
okay.
Whether it's, you know, my husband who brought his brother and his friends on a skiing trip, and I was the only girl, and I was kind of stuck in with, you know, all the crazy guys, and I could tell you some good stories about those trips. going back to even like sixth grade, being stuck at like a table full of all guys, just giggling and making stupid sixth grade filthy jokes, and just being the one girl at the table who just kind of becomes one of the guys because otherwise you have nothing to talk about.
Kind of like talking about cod pieces. It's the it's that, you know, that humor, and you're just there for the ride. So yeah. Yep.
Okay. So now I have to assume that everybody knows who this is, but just in case you don't, Jerry Seinfeld, of course, kind of played himself, and he was a comedian who Elaine was his ex-girlfriend who they kind of stepped away from the relationship as boyfriend and girlfriend and became best friends. And so therefore she gets to hang around with this whole group, and she's one of his biggest confidants. And she just has so many laughs and so many great moments. Especially following all these characters, I think through their relationships and their boyfriends / girlfriends, I think is a trip. I think some of the best moments that she had are when she was seeing David Putty.
Okay.
Do you remember him?
Yeah, I do.
David Putty was a mechanic who was played by, Patrick Warburton? Who was just so freaking funny. And the two of them together would, first of all, like, break up every other week. just constantly just like having ridiculous fights over, you know, there was one moment where he like painted himself up as the devil to go see, I think, the New Jersey Devils play, whatever they were playing, etc. And the whole episode was, you know, about religion and which one of them was going to hell. Because, all right, sorry, did you want
to,
did I hear
no,
you?
No, I was just about to say, okay. I remember the episode where he had a fur coat.
Oh, yeah, the fur coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that fur coat, like, went through the episode and, like, each of them had it for some reason. And, like, George started out with a fur coat and threw it out a window or something. And, like, Kramer found it and then gave it to David or something like that. Yeah, they all ended up wearing the fur coat. And it was weird.
Yeah, I just remember her, like, being upset with him. It's like, are you going to wear that all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, they were good together. But even if not, like, the really funny thing about Seinfeld, I mean, they called it a show about nothing, but I think it was more just about all the stupid things that happen to you in your life. And they are all like the four most flawed characters on the planet. Which in the end, if you saw like the finale, that's kind of where they ended up, where they were all being sued for just being rotten people.
Yeah.
But, you know, they just highlighted like every stupid thing that everybody does wrong and would never tell anyone but your best friend.
Right.
And you're like led into that little circle. And, you know, Elaine is one of those people. I think there was one moment where she was dating this very pretentious guy who worked in a very high-end clothing store and had a ponytail.
I don't remember that one.
Okay. Well, she kind of gave him a chance and he pissed everybody off. And I believe eventually he fell asleep on her couch and she cut the ponytail off.
That's not surprising.
While he was sleeping. That, and she was, in certain ways, she was very aggressive. Like, I noticed that in a lot of the episodes, she like hits the guys. She'll like scream, no way, and like whack them, like push them back. And I don't know, that's like, that's not the kind of thing that girls in a group do to each other. Like, you can only be Elaine and do that because you hang around all with guys. So are you familiar? I mean, I think I remember hearing you talk about Seinfeld at one point or another, but are you a big fan?
No, I mean, I know I've watched plenty of episodes. I just don't like recall them like, you know, immediately other than like the highlight ones. Like I think yada, yada, yada. I think about when they were, exchanging their keys, you know, with each other. The master of their domain. I remember the where
that was a good episode.
Oh, that was totally hilarious. The episode where Kramer is smuggling coffee into the movie theater and gets burnt, and then so they're trying to sue the coffee company. So I remember, or Kramer gets his own like studio for his apartment, where he's like has a talk show studio. I recall that one. Yeah. He actually, you know, people would come in and he would like introduce them as if, you know, like he was on a talk show, and they would sit at the seat there.
That's
and
hilarious.
Then move down as, you know, people came in. So I remember certain episodes, you know, and certain situations. I mean, the book that gets taken into the bathroom and now it's like, you know, tainted somehow or marked by the book.
Oh, yeah. they make him buy the book because he took it into the bathroom. Yeah, that's a George Costanza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I still use the, you know, I'm pulling a Costanza. Like if I have to go underneath the desk or something to help with like computer wires or something, you know, the joke is, oh, you know, I'm pulling a Costanza. Because, you know, I'm going to
build a little den under his desk.
Yeah,
a little,
exactly.
A alarm clock that slides out. Yeah.
A little pillow just for those afternoon naps. Uh-huh. Yep. So, yeah, I remember a lot of episodes, but, you know, it's just the highlight of those episodes, you know, the soup Nazi, you know.
The soup Nazi was a great episode. Yeah.
So, you know, I can kind of cherry pick, you know, these different situations, but...
No soup for you!
Yeah, you can eat bread. Think, no, go, okay, go, yeah. Go!
Go. Oh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. They're like nudging each other. Like, shh, shh, just go. Just put your bag up there. Get out. But like I was saying, the episodes are so very layered that there was also a bit going on in that soup Nazi episode where there was this big like credenza dresser or something that was out on the sidewalk that I think Kramer took home or I don't know if it was Kramer or Elaine that took it home, but in the end, Elaine ended up with this, you know, getting a bunch of guys to bring this credenza to her house. And it turns out that all the recipes for this crazy good soup that the soup Nazi makes were in the credenza.
I don't remember
and
that.
And she goes back to the deli counter or whatever it is. And she goes, holds the soup recipes for ransom and starts like reading to them to him, like, listen, you better shape up, buddy, or I'm going to circulate and publish all your recipes. So she kind of triumphed over the soup Nazi.
Well, no wonder everybody was unhappy with them at the end of the series, right? You know, they're like, we're just tossing them into jail together, right? You know, because it's like, we don't want these bad people around us.
I guess, but it's like we're all bad people at one moment or another. Maybe not quite as bad as George. He was really bad. But, you know, like you sooner or later, we all get into a situation where we're just like this, just like that moment that makes you cringe that you're like, oh, my God, I don't believe that happened to me. This is just every episode focuses on one of those moments. So I don't know.
All right. Okay. Let's play this game. Let's play this. You brought up Elaine. So can you think of a time where you did something most like Elaine?
Oh my God. No, I don't want to play this game.
Come on. Truth or dare. Got to play along.
I'm sure I could think of something, but I wouldn't want to have to say it out loud and record it for posterity.
Oh, so there is a story.
Well, I don't know. I'm sure there is. I try to be a good person, but like I said, sooner or later something happens where you're like, oh, I'm so glad I'm out of that situation.
I'm trying to think if there's any situation that I've been into where I may not have been the most noblest of person. I'm trying to think of, you know, where I could have been the closest to like one of them. I can't think of one right now. But given a few more minutes, maybe I can come up with something.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where if that was our challenge, I would come up with something.
Right.
But I don't know if it's going to hit me right away. And whatever it is, it's going to be embarrassing.
Well, no, and that's just it. I'm willing to embarrass myself for the sake of our listeners, but and that's just the way I'm wired. But at the same time, I try to be a good person just overall, and you know, I probably have done stuff where I was a bit of an ass or a jerk. But I don't know if it, you know, gravitates to being, you know, a Seinfeld like moment. Cause like, you know, I can't, you know, yeah, nothing's coming to mind. I'm trying to think, you know, and it's just that all the characters there, they were very kind of self-centered, you know, it was like kind of their own, you know, for, you know, they thought of themselves before putting the goodwill of another person in front of them. So
I guess, but it wasn't, I mean, some of the time I remember it being situations that, where they were kind of trying to do something decent and it just didn't work out. You know, they just got themselves into a hot mess. I think Elaine at one point was working for a catalog company. I forget what it was. It was kind of like along the lines of a J. Crew, Peterman, J. Peterman. And she at one point, like took over and was the head of J. Peterman and came up with this wonderful idea that they were going to market the Urban Sombrero. You remember the Urban Sombrero?
I do not remember the Urban Sombrero, but it sounds funny.
And it was, I mean, it was kind of an interesting idea on her part. And she was kind of this sort of creative person. Her last job was with a publisher. So she would come up with this wonderful copy to describe the Urban Sombrero and how you would go out and have adventures in it and like, you know, in the Congo or whatever it was that they were, you know, that inspired the sombrero for, you know, the metrosexual, you know, guy or whatever. And it turned out that this was, for some reason, it was like this colossal failure where, you know, no one in hell was going to wear the sombrero in New York City. So, you know, sometimes it was just like really trying to have a brainstorm and it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
That, and I think maybe my favorite Elaine moment is, and meme, is when she tries to dance at her company Christmas party.
Oh, God, I remember that. Okay. Yeah.
She tries to get everyone to dance by going out of on the dance floor and doing her little thing where she kicks and does the thumbs and just looks like she's basically having some kind of fit. But and she just doesn't know. She absolutely has no idea that she's a terrible dancer. And they, none of her friends will tell her. So she just continues to proceed as if this is acceptable social behavior. And it's just not.
Yeah, I do remember that. I just remember it's very bad dancing. And, you know, to relate it to, you know, probably friends, you know, I think of Chandler and trying to smile for a picture. You know, it's kind of like, just don't do it. Just don't, no. Just don't.
Oh, yeah. It just didn't work out for their engagement photo. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Or even like Ross and Monica, when they get together and they do that, what they call the routine. They're on like kind of
crazy
dance show
yes.
with the group.
Yeah.
And they decide to do this little routine that they made up in middle school together. And it's just like the ultimate, like uncool, stupid thing you'd never want to do on television.
Wow. Yeah, I'm trying to think of like, you know, my favorite Elaine moment, and I'm trying to kind of go back over like episodes in my brain where, you know, they were specifically, you know, or Elaine specific. And a lot of the ones that I remember, like, you know, like I told you about, you know, had other elements of the show. And I seem to,
yeah,
like,
well, it was that kind of show.
Yeah. You know, and I seem to always, you know, remember certain things, you know, that, you know, specifically Kramer did or Seinfeld himself, Jerry. There was one that I thought was really funny was when Jerry was asking Elaine about his body. I forgot the context of it, but she says something like he had chicken wing shoulders.
All right, that's sounding familiar, but I don't really remember the context.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
it was kind of weird that they had this carnal knowledge of each other, but, you know, didn't really refer to it very much.
Right.
Because
right.
I don't know how realistic that is.
Yeah, but, you know, I was just, you know, I remembered it had something to do with, like, Jerry asking her honest opinion about what's wrong with his body. So other than that, that's really all I remembered. And I just remember that being a very humorous moment, you know. You know, their reaction.
It might have been. There was one episode where she was she insisted that that she always faked orgasms with him.
Oh,
and
okay.
She was very insulting.
Yes.
And he's like, "Well, what about the screaming, the moaning?" And she's like, "Fake, fake, fake, fake." And he kind of says, "All right, come on, let's go right now in the bedroom." He's like, "You dared me? Come on, I'll show you right now." She was like, no.
I'm going to prove you wrong right now.
Right, exactly. He's like, "Come on, right now, come on." So, no way. You need to give me, he's like, "No, you need to give me, so, what do you call, like last ups?"
Oops.
Or whatever it would be in baseball. Okay, there's our timer. There's our timer. All right. I do need to mention the one more moment that everybody, you know, knows about, and it may come to you. There's a moment when she's in the sauna with Sidra, who was one of Jerry's gorgeous girlfriends, who was played by Terry Hatcher, and they're her boobs are like so terrific that he thinks they might be fake. And she was sent in there, like, you know, to do reconnaissance and try and figure out whether she had real boobs or fake boobs.
Oh, I don't remember this at all, but it sounds great.
Oh my God. This is like the funniest moment, because here now she went into the gym, she went into the sauna, and she pretended to be like, hi, I'm your new friend, Elaine, etc. But there's some moment where she trips and falls on top of her and ends up like grabbing her boobs. Which isn't really on screen. You kind of see like Elaine's view as she's falling towards Sidra. And then of course afterwards you get the description that, you know, she has to kind of try and convince Sidra that she didn't actually do that on purpose. Because Sidra finds out that Jerry did send Elaine in to figure out if she had real boobs. And of course the famous line that came out of this is as Sidra is blowing him off, like, I can't believe you sent someone into the sauna to do that to me. She says, yes, they're real and they're spectacular.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, it was a great moment. And I think she, in the final episode, Sidra comes back and testifies against him in court.
As she should.
Yeah. They were like anti-character witnesses.
Yes, yes, definitely. Yes, you should lock them away and throw away the key. Yep.
But, you know, who can cast the first stone?
Yes.
Okay, well, I guess we should wrap that up then.
Okay.
But it was fun talking about Elaine. Glad you have some, you know, nice memories of Seinfeld that you could share.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, then thanks everybody for listening. And hey, thanks for the reviews. I know, Dave, you posted some of the reviews so I could see them. That was kind of nice to see.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll keep laughing.
Yeah, they like your laugh.
Good, because I can't help it.
Perfect.
It just kind of happens. It's getting me to stop. That's the problem. Okay. All right, well, you can find us at BonsaiRetroClub.com and on Podbean and on iTunes and all that good stuff, where you can go leave some more reviews. I am at Suze Mattaboni at Twitter, and SuzanneMattaboni.com is my blog. And Dave is at Bonsai Retro Club on Twitter, and you can also email McFly at BonsaiRetroClub.com if you want to. Yep. Drop us an email. And let's see. You'll also, you know, you can take a look for both Scott and Rose's information. I think Rose is 80s Music Girl, and Scott is 80s Auto Reverse.
Correct.
Okay, good. I got them all right.
Yep.
All right. Well, then, I like when I get to do the sign-off and ask everyone to please be excellent to each other, especially in, you know, crazy times. And party on.
Party on, Wayne. Party on, Garth.
Cool.
Wayne's World. Wayne's World.
Wayne's World. Wayne's World.
Show.
Actually, I was
Wing.
Just watching that, so I couldn't help but say. Yeah.
Yeah, it's party on. After the be excellent to each other. So.
Mm.
Yep. So bye bye.
Bye.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Bonsai Daniel-san!
Hey, Bonsai!
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 Here's one. I borrowed Putty's car, and all the presets on his radio were Christian rock stations.
I like Christian rock. It's very positive. It's not like those real musicians who think they're so cool and hip.
You think that Putty actually believes in something?
I mean, it's a used car. He probably never changed the presets.
Yes, he is lazy.
Plus, he probably doesn't even know how to program the buttons.
Yes, he is dumb.
So you prefer dumb and lazy to religious?
Dumb and lazy, I understand.
Tell you how you could check.
Huh.
Reprogram all the buttons, see if he changes them back. You know, the old switcheroo.
No, no, the old switcheroo is you poison your drink and then you switch it with the other person.
No, it's doing the same thing to someone that they did to you.
Yeah, Elaine's gonna do the same thing to Putty's radio that the radio did to her.
Well, that's the gist of it!
Quiet! So where do you want to eat?
Feels like an Arby's night.
Arby's, beef and cheese and... Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Oh, so you're pretty religious.
I try.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell.
Well, I'm going to hell.
That seems about right.
According to Putty.
Hey, have you heard the one about the guy in hell with the coffee and the donuts?
I'm not in the mood.
I'll have some coffee and a donut.
What do you care? You don't believe in hell.
I know, but he does.
So it's more of a relationship problem than the final destination of your soul.
No, relationships are very important to me.
Maybe you can strike one up with the Prince of Darkness as you burn for all eternity.
And a slice of devil's food cake.
Elaine, they forgot to deliver your paper today. Why don't you just grab that one?
That belongs to Mr. Potato Guy. That's his.
Come on, I'll get it.
Well, if you want it, you get it.
Sorry, thou shalt not steal.
Oh, but it's okay for me.
Oh, what do you care? You know where you're going.
All right, that is it. I can't live like this.
Oh, no.
Come on.
All right, what did I do?
David, I'm going to hell. The worst place in the world. With devils and those caves and the ragged clothing. And the heat. My God, the heat. What do you think about all that?
It's going to be rough.
You should be trying to save me.
Don't boss me. This is why you're going to hell.
I am not going to hell. And if you think I'm going to hell, you should care that I'm going to hell, even though I am not.
You stole my Jesus fish, didn't you?
Yeah, oh, that's right.
Let me see if I understand this. You're concerned that he isn't concerned that you're going to hell, and you feel that she's too bossy.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, oftentimes in cases of interfaith marriages, couples have difficulty.
Whoa. No one's getting married here.
You aren't?
No.
Oh.
We're just, you know... having a good time.
Oh. Well, then it's simple. You're both going to hell.